Father, I thank you, Lord. Let the word of God shine in our hearts this morning, bringing light and revelation and understanding in Jesus' name. My doctrine, praise the Lord, this morning, let it drop as dew from heaven. Hallelujah. Let it drop this morning, praise the Lord. And let my voice, my words be as the pen of a ready writer to know how to encourage and speak a word in season to him that is weary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And may the Lord strengthen and renew, you know, his spirit in every one of us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome to the platform this morning. You know, I want to, you know, give you this blessing from the Lord this morning. It's good news. Hallelujah. Can you hear it? I mean, there is a rumbling in the spirit. Can you hear it? Praise the Lord. Well, I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain gathering. It's not quite raining yet, but it's gathering. And it's coming a deluge. Well, can you hear it? Glory to God. God is fixing to pour out something. You know, it's an incredible rain that's coming. It's not just rain of water, but rain of his substance. Hallelujah. Now, when tremendous rain is coming, especially when there has been, you know, lack of rain for a while, maybe a drought and so forth, you know, how do you make preparation for the rain? You know, now in places, you know, some places, you know, in Nigeria and Africa and other places where they may not have a, you know, steady water supply, rain can actually be, you know, a blessing. You know, so, but you need to take advantage of it. You know, I remember a couple years or so ago, you know, we, my wife and I traveled to Nigeria for a visit, not this last visit, the one before. And when we got to the estate where our house was or is, there really wasn't any water. For some reason, they were having problems with that. But the Lord sent us rain. Immediately, we arrived. In fact, it was torrential rain. Well, what did we have to do? Well, we had to bring the empty barrels. And we had to try to gather all the barrels, not a few, and set them in strategic places, you know, where the eaves from the, you know, from the roof would, you know, drop down the rain. And we collected so much rain water that, you know, the needs, the watering needs around for that period were met. It was really an abundance of rain that came, you know. And, you know, but when the rain is coming, there's some preparations you got to make. Let's read a story here where this thing comes from. Some of you know the story, of course, I'm sure. In 1 Kings chapter 18, that's where this story comes from. The story of Elijah. And right away from verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 18, what do we hear? You know, or what do we read? Well, what we read was that Elijah heard from the Lord. And the Lord said to him, you know, go and show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah already heard that from the Lord. And then all the other things that ensued after that, you know, the showdown on Mount Carmel and so on and so forth, you know. And then later on, when Elijah was finished with all that drama, here is what he said in the book of 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through about 46. Here's what he said and did. You know, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. You know, so Elijah heard what the Lord said, that the Lord was going to send rain. And then Elijah also declared the same to Ahab. You know, but, you know, the way Elijah described it was not exactly the way God said it. God only told him, well, I am going to send rain. But Elijah was making preparation in his heart and listening, you know, for the rain. And in the spirit, he could hear the gathering rain. You know, the rain was gathering. He could hear it. He knew it was coming. In fact, it sounded in his ears like, you know, a lot of rain. A lot of rain. It wasn't just going to be, you know, sprinkles here and there. It was going to be torrential rain. It's going to be a deluge. He heard it in the spirit and he declared it. And then, well, you know, he told Ahab, get thee up and go and eat and drink because the Lord is going to send rain. I hear it. It's coming. Well, can you hear it though? You know, I often ask, can you smell what the Lord is cooking? You know, when food is being made in the kitchen and it's being cooked and prepared, you know, if you have a keen sense throughout the house, you can smell it. There's always a delicious smell of food around our house when my wife is cooking. She's always cooking up something. And you know, can you smell what the Lord is cooking? Can you hear the sound of abundance of rain that's gathering? Well, when it's ready, he's going to serve it up. But it's gathering. But here is the secret, though. Elijah, he told Ahab to go and eat and drink. But Elijah himself did not go up to eat and drink. You know, and you can wonder, why did Elijah do opposite of what he himself said? You know, because someone must stand in the gap. And someone's got to pay the price. You're pulling down that rain. God already said it, but somebody's got to pull it out. Now, when he sent Ahab away, yeah, there's also a reason for that. You know, the presence of Ahab around him at the time would be a distraction. So get him out of there, you know, so you can focus on what the Lord is sending. And so when he got Ahab out of there, he went up to the top of Carmel. You know, the Bible says in verse 42, so Ahab went up to drink and to eat. But Elijah, he went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. And they did, you know, they did this thing. And each time in between the servant going and coming to report that there was nothing, Elijah prayed some more. In fact, he prayed earnestly, we're told in the book of James, chapter 5. Well, why did he need to pray earnestly? The Lord already said the rain was coming. I mean, what's the point of praying earnestly? I mean, you already said you're hearing the gathering of this rain. You hear its abundance. You hear the rumbling. It's coming. You know, what do you need to go and pray for? Well, that's the secret. You know, everything that the Lord promised or promises, somebody must stand in the gap to pull it down. That's right. The Lord gave the word already. You know, everything that God does, it starts in the spirit realm. gives an unction, and he gives a word. I'm going to send rain upon the earth. Well, if you hear it, then what you got to do? When the Lord said, you will emerge, did you hear it? Have you been hearing it? We said that at the beginning of the year, and then we just let it be for a while. And now, since we are coming to the end of the year, we've been hammering on it again. But can you hear it? Can you hear it? And you smell what the Lord is cooking. He's really cooking something. You know, we're told that the Lord in the beginning, here's the way, you know, that God loves to do things. You know, he calls things that are out of things that are not. I mean, he can take and make something out of nothing. That's how he does his things. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 4, you know, and verse 17, we're told that God makes and calls things, you know, that are not as though they already were. And you've heard me say in this room many times that God, and I'll say it again this morning, remind us these things. We need to be reminded from time to time of how God operates. God does not start anything until first he has finished the thing. Let me say it again for the benefit of those who may be hearing it for the first time. Because that kind of sounds counterintuitive and it sounds backwards. You know, how can you finish something before you first start it? Well, that's how it works with God. You know, because he is not only Alpha and Omega, he's also Omega and Alpha. And with God, you know, everything, you know, the dimension of time, which is no time with him, is like a wheel. There is really no start, you know, any point in that wheel, a circle like that. It's really, you know, whether you go this way or go that way, you go back and come around to the same place. You know, so it's just like that with the Lord. And here is how he says it in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, chapter 3. And the Lord gives us that secret in verse 15. He said, that which has been is now. In other words, the past is present. And that which is to be, that is the future, has already been. The future is past. You know, what we think is future to God is already past. You know, he's already been there. He's already, you can say, been there, done that. It's already done that. It's already been there. So he actually, you can look at it. You trace that circle around. Well, you're still over here. He's already gone around. You know, so when it comes around to doing it for you, which you think God is doing it, he's already finished it because he's already gone around the circle. He's way ahead and he doesn't start anything until it is first finished. That's why the Bible said the Lamb was slain before the world began. This story of salvation, which, you know, the world today and this season celebrating Christmas, it's a good thing, you know. This story did not just start when Christ was born. It was already finished before he was even born. The Lamb was slain before the world even began. And that's how God does his things. Now, so this rain was already formed, declared, released in the heavens before God even spoke it out. But Elijah knew the secret, because sometimes, you know, when God speaks something out, or when you're praying for something, the enemy can intercept that. You know, we read that in the story of Daniel. Daniel said, well, you know, I was mourning 3 full weeks and all of that. But, you know, what Daniel didn't know was that all that time, from the time that he began to pray, you know, right away, his prayer was heard, and the Lord released something from the heavens, but it was intercepted. That's right. You know, here's how the angel told it to him in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. He said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." You know, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And the whole time, Daniel was praying. He was praying, and he set his face, you know. And so, sometimes we don't understand that things are happening in the spirit realm that govern what we see upon the earth. You know, that's what God asked Job in Job 38 and 33. "Do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion upon the earth?" Well, Daniel didn't know that there were things going on in heavens until the angel told it to him. I mean, he just thought that God didn't answer his prayer, so he kept praying, you know. And, you know, he kept just believing God for 3 whole weeks. But in the meantime, as soon as he started to speak, his prayer was heard. And God dispatched something, you know. Now, there was an unction that went forth from the throne, you know. "Go visit Daniel and give him strength and understanding." And as he went, the angel did. Well, there was the prince of the kingdom of Persia that withstood him 21 days. Now, God called these powers that be, that are over the kingdoms, he called them princes. Even Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. He said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Now, a prince, when you call someone a prince, that's power. You know, so don't you think that the devil has his own power? He does. But the good news for us is that God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10 and 13. That's right. It's not that the enemy doesn't have any power. He's a prince. He's got power. You know, but God has spoiled principalities. I mean, Jesus did. He spoiled principalities and powers, and he made an open show of them. It's what we are told in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, this handwriting, you know, by many things, you know. And it's not just handwriting these days anymore. You know, he already did that. But the devil also will speak. And the devil will come before the Lord and say, "You can't send them rain." Because one, they are not prepared for it. Two, they are not believing it. Three, they are acting differently, you know, contrary to what you say. I mean, he'll bring up all kinds of things. You have, and you know the devil, he can really go up against the Lord like that and challenge the people of God and say, "Look, you know," Lord said, "Well, have you seen my servant Job?" You know, and they will say, "Yeah, I've seen him. But, you know, why do you think he serves you?" You know, because you blessed him like that. You know, put forth your hand now and you'll see. You know, and so the enemy, he'll come in and say, "Well, look, you can't do it. You can't pour that rain out because they're really not believing your word." You know, so you can't do it. And, you know, the devil, he knows how things function, you know, in heaven. So he'll come out and say, "Well, you know, heaven has no permission, you know, to release these things to them because they're not believing and they're not declaring your word. So you can't do it." You know, I tell the Lord that. The Lord say, "Yeah, but you'll see." They'll come around and say, "Well, I'll see to it that they don't come around. I'm going to make sure I, you know, frustrate everything, lay more burdens on them, give them all kinds of problems, distract them one way or another, take their minds off of the Word of God. Make sure they are not believing. Make sure they cannot, you know, align themselves with that word and they are not declaring it. Because the devil knows that if you can just figure out, you know, and you can get understanding of what God is already doing in the heavens, then you know he's finished. You know, so but he'll make sure that you don't get that understanding, or at least that his attempt. And he'll make sure that he bring all kind of distraction and bring all kinds of noises. So you can't hear the rumbling of the rain. Say, well, they're not going to do it. I'm going to make sure they don't get to hear it. But the Lord is patient like that. And the Lord said, they'll do it too. And so when the devil goes off to make sure that you don't do it, the Lord will have his own counsel. Say, all right, you heard the man. But now who's going to go down there and make sure that my daughter believes and actually gets what they are believing for, you know? And the Lord will send his own angels, create his own circumstances around you that will bring you to the point where you will believe. But then he needs you to speak the word. You know, that's what they are waiting for. You speak the word. You know, God said it, but Elijah, there are two things he had to do. One, he had to declare what God already said. You know, if God has said him, I'm going to send rain, and Elijah kept it to himself and didn't give voice to that word, it would never have happened. Two, you know, even after he gave voice to the word, he had to get rid of distractions. You know, he gave voice to the word. That's two. Three, he had to get rid of distraction. Send away the unbelief. You know, get them out of there. You know, when you are waiting for the abundance of rain, separate yourself from unbelief. You know, because, you know, they'll drown that voice. They'll drown that sound. They'll say, well, it's not coming. You know, has it rained in the, you know, this whole year? It's been drought. You know, the Lord's promised us this emerging thing since the beginning of the year. It hasn't happened. Why do you think it's going to happen now? You know, the Lord has forgotten us. You know, this is a byword. You know, it's not going to happen. We're just going to be saying it and saying it and saying it. And the effect of every vision is failing. So get rid of the unbelief. Send them away or you get away from them fast. And then, number four, you go and get yourself into some prayer zone. That's right. Because just because God promised it doesn't mean we're just going to sit back, relax, and let the rain fall. Doesn't work like that. Jesus knew that he had the victory before the world began. You know, he knew it. But he had to declare it. He had to do the same things. You know, had to declare it. He would declare it and would say, look, the Son of Man will go into Jerusalem, be brought before the chief priests and so on and so forth, and they will put him to death. But in 3 days, rise again. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, and he had to declare it. He had to keep declaring. But after all that declaration, my goodness, he had to go somewhere and pray that thing through. Even though he knew it was already done, he prayed until blood was coming out of his brow like sweat. You know, because my goodness, he was going, he was fighting for the precious, precious fruit of the earth. It was called a pearl of great price. He had to get it. And the devil wouldn't give up, you know, easily. But Jesus, he got it. Praise the Lord. That's why you are here today. He got it. Hallelujah. And he said, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. And now I'm alive forevermore. And I got it. I got the keys of hell and death. He whooped that devil, boy. And he made an open show of principalities and powers, spoiled them. And he got it. And led captivity captive. Now, but he went through the process of declaring it and praying it through. Now, Elijah, he heard it coming. He declared it. He's going to send away the unbelief and so forth and all distractions. Then he's going to go get himself in a cloud of prayer and pray through. Well, go check it out, he said. The man went and said, there is nothing. Well, is Elijah going to be discouraged because there is nothing? No. He's going to pray some more. Well, while he's praying, we're not told exactly what he said, but I believe he was reminding the Lord that, Lord, you said the rain was coming, and you showed it to me. I heard it already. Now, where is that nothing? Then he'll say, you pray some more and send the man, go check it out. And the man come back and say, well, there is nothing. And there was something that Elijah was looking for. You know, he knew how the rain was coming because he was a prophet and he knew it, you know, and, but, you know, at his vantage point where he was at that moment, he couldn't really see it. So he had to send his servant to go check it out, you know, go check it out. It's coming from over there. He knew it. And so the man would go check it out, but come back. I see nothing. And that man was so blunt too. He wasn't even articulate about it. He just laid it down. I see nothing. There is nothing. And so 7 times passed, and we don't know how long between each time Elijah prayed some more, you know. And, you know, meanwhile, the servant is thinking, well, I don't know. I mean, this man said rain was coming, but there is no rain. The heavens are brass. You know, we'll see what will happen this time around. I mean, he knew, I mean, he's been around Elijah. He knew the power and so forth. And but right now, the heavens are brass. And so he comes and said, well, I see nothing. You know, again and again and again. But Elijah, he heard the sound. And he's going to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, let me freely speak to you today of a gathering sound in the spirit. Glory to God. It is called the sound of abundance of rain. It is coming. And I hear it. And I can smell what the Lord is cooking. I can hear the rumbling of the rain. And you need to gather together your barrels, position for an outpour. You know, when the Lord is doing something, a lot of people most times are ignorant of it, but you know, that doesn't mean the Lord's not going to do it just because people are ignorant. It's just that, you know, those who are ignorant, they are ignorant. Paul said, well, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Well, if they're ignorant, they're ignorant, but that doesn't change anything. I mean, you know, people even have, you know, mental knowledge. They gather facts, you know, but the truth is not in their hearts. But they gather facts. I mean, the scribes and all of them, they knew. They gather facts. They said, look, where will the Christ be born? Well, they knew he was born. They read the book of Micah, where Micah said in chapter 5 and verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be smallest among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that will be governor or ruler over my people, whose goings forth have been up from of old, from everlasting. So they knew Christ was coming from Bethlehem. You know, when Herod sent for them to check it out, they knew it. But when he came, even though they knew it, they missed it. And it was right there and before their eyes, but they couldn't see it, you know, and they were not even prepared for his coming, even though they knew that the scriptures declared it, and they missed it point blank. And so it's no different now, too. I mean, everybody talks about what God's going to do, you know. A lot of people talk about, especially as you go into the end of the year, coming up into a new year. I mean, you can go out there, you can hear all kinds of predictions. You can hear all kinds of prophecies. I mean, people are always trying to, you know, psych up themselves for the new year, you know, for what God's going to do. Well, that's not exactly what we're doing here. God's been telling us all year round. We're just reminding you that he said it. And, you know, don't say that the words of the Lord are delayed, because they're not. There was a gathering storm of sorts, and the Lord was preparing for it, and it's now set. You know, but there's certain things we have to do. you know. And so that's what Elijah was doing, praying down the rain. Praise the Lord. Now, that little cloud that the man finally saw, you know, after about seven times, you know, he saw, you know, he said, well, now I see a little cloud. But it's not, it doesn't look any more than the size of a man's hand, because he saw it from way afar off, you know, saw something like over the horizon. And he said, look, I see something. And Elijah said, well, that's it. That's it. That's it. Praise God. You know, that's what he would be looking for. And he had to really, really pray for some stuff to happen. But once he saw the, you know, a little cloud arising out of the sea, like a man's hand, Elijah knew that's where it was coming from. That's why he sent the man to go check it out. He knew it. And then he told the guy, yeah, that's it. Ha, praise God. You know, so now, as he went, as he went forward, something really happened to Elijah. Elijah, you know, once he got a hold of that news, and something started happening. In a few minutes, the heaven was black, and so forth, and the clouds and wind and everything. I mean, just a little bit ago, there was nothing. And now, all of a sudden, it's like when it starts, here's what the Lord said. You know, he said, and here's what I'm telling you today. This is what the Lord said in the spirit. You know, behold, I will send you rain. Can you hear the sound of the abundance thereof? And when it starts, it shall come like a flood, saith the Lord. That's what the Lord wants me to tell you. And then when this thing started, my goodness, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. You know, and, you know, Ahab was in his chariot. But I tell you what, this man, Elijah, the hand of the Lord came upon him, because now once that rain now comes, there is coming something upon the people of God. You know, and this Elijah represented the people that are waiting for an outpouring from God. You know, and then once eventually came, the Spirit of God came upon him, and this man outran the chariot. That's right. He outran the chariot. My goodness, the wind was like behind him. I mean, it was just propelling him. He outran the chariot. Well, the Bible says, can you contend with chariots if you can't even run with footmen? You can read that in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. He said, well, if you have run with footmen and they wearied you, how in the world are you going to contend with horses? This man, he outran the chariot because the hand of the Lord came upon him. Now, in this rain, torrential deluge that God is sending, praise God, you are going to overtake chariots, you know, and your God, the Spirit of God, is going to cause an advancement. He's going to cause, first there was a proclamation that had to come out of your mouth, and the prayers and so forth that had to follow that, and detaching yourself from every distraction. But once it starts, it come in like a flood, and the Lord will make your feet like hinds' feet. That's right. You'll outrun the chariots. Praise God. And you know, the battle is not always to the strong, neither the race to the swift. But in this case, the race will be to the swift, because the Lord is the one that's going to make you swift, and you will outrun chariots. Glory to God. Now, the lack of advancement, as we get close to the end of this year, where we have our consecration, there are some things I'm going to be dealing with, you know, and this, you know, this slow motion kind of progress. No. They are going to now outrun chariots. Glory to God. God's going to do something. That rain is coming. Can you hear it? I can hear it. Now make preparation. You know, the Lord told Elijah, he proclaimed it, he did what he needed to do, you know, and he even said to Ahab, look, better make preparation. Prepare your chariot. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, prepare your empty barrels and bring them, not a few, because the Lord is going to pour out a blessing, both spiritually and materially. But first, you know, we must seek the spiritual, and then the other outpouring that will spill over. It spills over from once we recognize how to function in the spirit realm, it's going to spill over. Now, this thing that's coming is not of water, but it's of my blessings, saith the Lord. Wherefore, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it, saith the Lord. Psalm 81 and verse 10. Now, has not the Lord spoken it, and shall he not make good? Let me tell you also a little thing about the small, you know, that becomes something else. We spoke about that a few days ago. Small beginnings, greater endings, a little cloud and so forth. Well, as far as the Lord is concerned, you know, he can take a little and make it into an abundance. He can actually take nothing and make something out of it, because God calls those things, you know, that are not as though they already are. You know, he called things out of nothing. In the beginning, when the earth was void and without form and chaos everywhere, God didn't like that or all of that. And the Holy Spirit, when he began to move, he brought order and he began to command things out of nothing. Ha! Glory to God. Now, if God can command things out of nothing, how much more when you already have a little something? When you already have a little cloud, like a man's hand. I mean, my goodness, that's good enough for the Lord. Now, many stories in the Bible would confirm this, and you know some of these stories, but let me just share one with you. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, let me just share with you a story in verse 41. You know, the Lord commanded the disciples, of course, made them to sit down upon the grass. Now, you know this story of Jesus feeding the multitudes by, you know, with just, you know, one small boy's lunch. And then he see, when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven. Now, it was only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, ladies and gentlemen. And it's like a small cloud. But what can that do among so many? In fact, the disciples, they said, what can this do among so many? Because there were thousands of people there. And, well, the Lord said, watch and learn. So, you know, he took the bread, took the fishes, looked up to heaven, blessed it, broke the loaves, gave them back to their disciples. Praise the Lord. So that's what the Lord has been doing for us in this lesson. He's, you know, giving us understanding and showing us, you know, how it is done, and putting a blessing on what you already have. It's like, what's in your hand? Told Moses. Moses said, well, it's just a rod. You know, well, God said, well, that's enough. I can use that. You know, one woman cried to, you know, Elisha, the prophet, and he said, well, they've come to take, you know, my husband was someone that feared the Lord, but he's gone now. We have no way to pay our bills. We've been struggling, you know. We tried everything, but we ran out. And now the creditors have come to take my sons into slavery to pay the debts that we can't pay. And Elisha said, well, what do you have in the house? He said, well, really nothing. All I got left is, you know, just one small pot of oil. And Elisha said, it is enough. That's it. You know, and he gave her strategy of what to do. Same thing, you know, every time Elijah, the Shunammite, I mean, not Shunammite, you know, the widow of Zarephath, when the Lord sent him over there. And she was gathering two sticks. And Elijah said to her, I pray thee, you know, get me something to drink. And as she was going, he said, well, I pray you bring me a little loaf that I may eat as well. I've had many days journey, nothing to eat. And the woman said, well, as the Lord thy God liveth. Well, already the woman saw a man I recognized as he looked like a man of God. You know, Elijah, he used to wear rough skin, like, you know, just like John the Baptist. It was a rough, you know, wear something like that. So anyway, he said, well, this is all I got left. Just a little flour, a little oil. I'm going to go bake our last bread. It's going to be my last meal between my son and I, because this famine has been so hard. And we're just going to eat it. I'm going to hold my son, you know, embrace him, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, not today. Nobody is dying today. Well, what you got, that's enough. You know, and he's going to put a blessing on it now. See, that's the thing with the Lord. When the Lord puts a blessing on the thing, he's going to give it right back into your hands. And then you have to do with it whatever, you know, God puts in your heart to do. You go do with it. So Elisha told her, you know, well, go borrow some vessels, not a few, and bring it in, shut the door, let your sons bring you the vessels, pour out the oil that you have. And when it's full, set it aside, and so on. And she went and did according to the word of the man of God. But, you know, she had the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to say, what in the world? I mean, all I have left, even in this, you know, thin pot, the pot is not even full. It's just a little pot. And you're telling me to go bring more pots and pour out and set that which is full aside out of this little one? She didn't say any of that. She believed the word. Glory to God. And once she believed it, she told the boys, look, go to our neighbors, speak kindly with them, borrow some vessels, bring them to me and so forth. She's telling them, we'll bring them back in a little bit. And so the boys went out, borrowed, hey, you know, we're doing something here. We need some, can you give us, you know, loan us a few vessels here? We'll bring it back in a few days. He said, oh, no problem. Have this one, have that one, have this one, have that one. They brought all the vessels. And as soon as they brought, she poured out. And my goodness, as she poured out, the thing did not even diminish. Just poured out. And she set aside. And then it brought another vessel and she poured out. And it's like, what's going on here? You know, and the whole thing, I mean, she just kept on. So finally she said, you know, bring me another vessel. And the boy said, well, we're out. And the moment they said, we have no more containers, then the oil stopped. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let your oil stop. Now, some people's oil have already stopped. Let me ask you this question today. Has your oil, you know, stopped, or is it still flowing? Or let me put it this way. Is your oil still flowing, or has it stopped? Well, it will stop when there is no more to receive it. But if you believe God, as long as you bring another vessel, you keep pouring out. I mean, if they kept bringing vessels from that time till now, if they had found vessels, the oil would still have been pouring. But as soon as they say, well, you were out of vessels. Well, okay, fine. The oil stayed. Praise God. And the same thing with the disciples. As long as there was somebody else to feed, they put them in 50s. There were thousands of them. And they were going around and dishing out the little piece of bread in their hand and the little crumbs of fish. And they were dishing it out. And as long as there was somebody else to feed, I mean, it's like the thing did not even diminish. It was just a piece of bread in each person's hand. Just a piece of fish. And there was, as long as there was somebody else to feed, that thing just continued. Now, you know, after they finished feeding everybody, there was still a lot left over. There was an abundance, you know, of supply. You know, what God is doing and does is abundance. And not just barely enough. It's an abundance. You will have to stop believing, or you have to stop bringing vessels for it to stop. There has to be no more mouths to feed for it to stop. As long as they were stepping out in faith, believing, and they kept feeding the people, and they might have been looking and say, my goodness, what in the world is this? You know, because the Lord put a blessing on the thing and just walked away. He didn't micromanage it. He just blessed it, put it in their hands, and just walked away and left them to figure it out. And they had to figure it out. They were actually partners with Christ in that miracle. Everybody talked about, you know, Jesus created, fed the multitudes and all of that. It was actually the disciples that fed the multitudes. Jesus didn't feed the multitudes. He gave it to the disciples. You know, so, but he put a blessing in the thing and put it back in their hands, and they go do whatever they want with it. And that's exactly what God is doing now. He's calling for the rain, and we're declaring him put the blessing, but he put it right back in your hands, and then you go do with it, whatever, you know. And but you got to believe, you know. And I ask the question today, do you dare to believe God? Glory to God. Do you dare to believe? Can you bring yet more vessels? Because the oil is still flowing. Now, when it begins to pour this time around, it's going to be torrential. So get ready. Now, don't be scrambling later on and not find vessels. God, start gathering the vessels. Because this thing is coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I can hear it. Glory to God. I can hear the sound of it already. I mean, I can smell, you know, the thing that God is cooking already. And when he's done, he'll serve it up at table before you in the presence of your enemies. Sometimes he'll even make your enemies to serve you on the table. That's right. Just like he did, Haman was the one that served up the blessings to Mordecai. Because he thought the blessings were coming upon him, so he raked them up. Well, give him your chariot, give him your ring, put a royal robe upon him, give him the crown royal, do all of these things, let him ride your chariot, give him honor, let everybody proclaim that he is the man, and do all these things. And the king said, is that it? He said, yeah. Well, no, there's more. You know, let the ring put upon him, his ring, take it off your hand, put it on his hand. And the king says, is that more? Oh, no. Let him do this, let him do that. Finally, he said, yeah, that's it. Because he thought it's coming to him. And the king said, all right, well, you said it. Now you go do it. And let there diminish not anything. Let there not diminish aught of the things that you have said. And go do as you have said to Mordecai. Glory to God. You know, so abundance of blessings coming, and God serving up your blessing right from the mouth of your enemies. That's right. And he proclaimed it, and he was finished. He said, wow. You know, and even his friends told him before that, he said, look, if this Mordecai be of the Jews before whom you have begun to fall, you can't prevail against him. Because you know, he's the seed of the Jews, you can't. Now, ladies and gentlemen, because you are the seed of the Lord, the enemy cannot prevail against you. They'll try. Not that they won't try. Jesus said it himself. He said the gates of hell will try, but they will not prevail against the church. But they're going to keep trying. And they don't give up easy. You know, you cast them out of something, they spring up something else. It's like whack-a-mole. Whack them down here, spring up over there, go away for a season, come back again, and so forth. But you got to keep whacking him. That's right. You know, so let me put it to you this way. God said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. It is done. Now, I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord gave the word in the heavens already. Elijah heard it. I will send rain. Hallelujah. The Lord's already given the word this time around. You will emerge. I heard it. I declared it. And I've been praying, and I'm going to pray some more. And I'm inviting you to pray some more with me as we close out this year, going through into next year, and so far beyond. You know, let's get in on the prayer. This thing, we're going to pray this thing down. God already said it, and it's already coming. But we got to get rid of some distractions, send all the Ahabs and so forth away, and focus. Hallelujah. But, you know, it's going to start. When it starts, though, it's going to come like torrential. But it may start small. It may be first the blade, then the air, then the full cone. You know, it may start with a little cloud at first. And you may not even figure it out. But if you already knew what's coming, then you say, that's it. That's it. I know that that's it. You know, and you just begin to praise the Lord. And, you know, the Lord, he will send rain. Thank you, Father. Now, I'm going to pray that our ears will be open. Glory to God. You know, our ears need to be open to what God is doing. There's coming a rain of righteousness as well. You know, many things that are coming. The Lord called for the abundance of rain. Let me read you a few scriptures, and then I'm going to pray. I want to read Isaiah chapter 44, and I'm going to just read three verses there. And I'm going to read one or two verses from Hosea, and then we're going to pray. The Lord said in Isaiah 44 and verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods. That's right. It's coming as a deluge. I'm going to pour floods upon the dry ground. Now I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. Isn't that beautiful? That's right. You know, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and so name himself by the name of the Lord. You know, that's powerful revival. You know, people coming back to the Lord and aligning themselves with God. Hallelujah. Now, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's who he is, the first and the last. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order. Hallelujah. God has called for it. He has declared it. But we must add our voice to it. Remember, Psalm 103, verse 20. Angels are waiting. They're hearkening to his voice. The voice of his word. They're hearkening and do his commandments, but they're waiting for the voice of his word. When you give voice to his word, yeah, they'll do something. The angels will move into operation. Now let me read Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, because this is a dual dimension of rain that is coming. It's coming in the spirit realm. It's also coming in the physical realm. You know, and you can get anything you want from the Lord. But I counsel you, Jesus said himself, I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Well, I counsel us, every one of us, let's do this one first. Let's seek him first and his righteousness. These other things are coming. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Well, it is time to seek the Lord. Well, he promised the rain, but you must seek him until he send that rain. Till he come and rain that righteousness upon you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray the grace and the mercy of God instruct our hearts to believe. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Mark 9 and 40, I mean, he said, look, if you can only believe, that's right. If you can believe, well, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, do you believe? Do you believe? There are two things that you must believe. You must believe that all things are possible with God. And then you must also believe that all things are possible, you know, to you as well, if you can believe. All things are possible with God. There shall nothing be impossible with God, we know that. But in Mark 9 and 23, Jesus also said, all things are possible to him that believeth. So, do you believe? Absolutely. And because we believe, therefore we speak. The Lord bless everyone as you expectantly wait for this rain. It is coming. Prepare your vessels. Hallelujah. And may the Lord open our ears for instruction in righteousness, for strategy that the Lord will give. For the Lord will cause, he said, I will cause the abundance of the sea to be converted unto you. It will start as a cloud out of the sea, but later it's coming as an abundance. Let the sea bring forth abundantly everything that will move in your favor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let them come forth even in chains. Let them come forth in, you know, I mean, just groups. I can't even find the word. I mean, I'm looking at it, but I can't find the word. It's a bundle together, you know. It's multiple miracles. It's not just one, but it's happening rapidly. After one is coming, and the other one is coming, and one is kind of colliding. Praise God. Multiple miracles. Continuous supply in the rain that God is bringing. And it's coming your way. And it's all yours for the believing. God already called for it, but we must believe God. It is the season that God has chosen to bless his people. You know, but we must hold forth the pureness of God's word in this thing that God is doing. Let our hearts be united with the Lord to pursue the Lord and not to pursue anything else. And when the riches increase, set not your affection and heart upon them, but set your affection on the things above and on the Lord. But it is coming. Now, can you hear it? The abundance of rain, the sound thereof that is coming. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.